This is Legacy Chatterbox number 107 for April 2026, narrated by Chris McDonald. Opening announcement. This is an MP3 recording produced by Vision Australia in 2026 in accordance with Section 113F of the Copyright Act 1968. No unauthorised copying, broadcasting or public performance of this recording is permitted. This recording is divided into separate MP3 files containing all main headings. The contents are as follows. From the Editor, President's Report, General Manager's Update, Chatterbox Audio, Social Club News, What Cadets Means to Me, Max Jarman, Ronald William Evans, Centenarians, Health and Safety, A Day in the Life of a Podiatrist, Public Relations and Community Engagement Committee, Book Review, Kathy's Kitchen, Varley, Continuing Our Legacy of Care, From Our Readers, The Lighter Side of Life, In the Garden with Roz Bailey, Announcements and Advertisements, Contact Details, Publishing and Copyright Statement, Closing Announcement. From the Editor. Here we are, 2026, and lots happening at Central Coast Legacy. Our cover picture shows Legatee Glenn Andrew presenting Cadet Under Officer Mitch Fritch an award for efficiency at the recent Air Force Cadet Annual Review Parade at IRENA. Our local Army, Navy and Air Force cadets play a significant role for Legacy, helping to sell our Legacy memorabilia and spreading the word about Legacy during Legacy Week each year. We are very indebted to them for their volunteer help. We also have a story about local Army cadet Max Jarman and his journey with the Army cadets. In this issue, we have an interesting story about our first Brisbane Water Legacy president and how Legacy started on the Central Coast. Our August edition of Chatterbox will be replaced by a publication showing the history of Brisbane Water Legacy, which turns 75 years old this year. The 75th special edition will be posted out in July. Our wonderful centenarians feature in this issue, as well as the December 2026 issue, as the August edition of Chatterbox will not be published. The Legacy Christmas party was held at Gosford RSL in December, with all our beneficiaries thoroughly enjoying the wonderful entertainment and food. All our regular articles are included in this issue: Social Club News, Public Relations and Community Engagement, Book Review, Kathy's Kitchen, The Lighter Side of Life and In the Garden with Roz Bailey. Legatee, David Ferry, Editor. President's Report. In the coming year, Legacy Australia is undertaking a number of initiatives that might bring some change to the way we operate and define beneficiary eligibility. These include a review of LA and its operations and its national marketing options. Other relevant changes include adapting to the combined DVA law on pensions and compensation and the application of the revised Code of Legacy. The latter two will have most impact on CCLC as we transition to the new arrangements, but these are unlikely to have a major impact in either beneficiary numbers or our obligations to beneficiaries. Our major undertakings for 2026 will be to relocate the office and remaining residents from Legacy Village to the accommodation in Shortland Street next door, to complete a study of our long-term accommodation requirements, and to celebrate the 75th anniversary of the formation of the club. A special edition of Chatterbox will be dedicated to the story of Legacy on the Central Coast. About 20 legatees, staff and beneficiaries will be asked to contribute their stories for inclusion in the special edition. These contributions will be complemented by a series of photos stretching back to the club's formation on the 29th of June 1951. Its launch will be combined with our annual cocktail party for Legacy supporters, scheduled for the 9th of July. Apart from these highlights, our main focus must remain on providing our beneficiaries with the support they need to cope with life's basic challenges and social engagement. Best wishes to all for the coming year. Legatee, Bob Lowry, President. General Manager's Update. Welcome to the first edition of Chatterbox for 2026 year. We look forward to an exciting year ahead with a number of planned events for our enrolled beneficiaries, as well as new accommodation at Point Frederick. Our first event will be our annual Mother's Day Luncheon. This will be held at Gosford RSL Club, West Gosford. This event is sure to be one not to miss, with entertainment lined up and a two-course meal. Our legatees and staff will be in attendance to ensure all our beneficiaries are spoilt. An invitation will be coming out in the near future. Our ever-popular Legacy Race Day will be held in October this year. For those who have attended previous race days, we have been unlucky with the weather gods, with a number of wet days. However, we hope by delaying it until spring, it will bring us warmer and dry weather. Our Legacy Social Club meetings recommenced in February at a variety of locations within the Central Coast. If you would like to attend, please contact the Legacy office, who will provide information to you, including transport options. The social clubs offer a friendly atmosphere where you can enjoy the company of other beneficiaries, have a cuppa, plan social bus trips and events, and make new friends. If transport is becoming an issue for you, whether it is to attend one of our events, medical, shopping, or just to get out of the house, please contact the Legacy office. Our welfare officers will discuss options available to you. I am pleased to advise that we are in the process of relocating our residence from the Legacy Village at Mason's Parade over to 1 Shortland Street, Point Frederick. The Legacy office is now located at our new premises, which includes dedicated space for our legatees and beneficiaries to utilise for their meetings, social club meetings and the like. This year is also a special year for our Legacy Club. Did you know that we celebrate 75 years of service to the Central Coast? We originated from Newcastle Legacy Club, forming a legacy contact group in the 1940s. However, it wasn't until June 1951 that we received our official charter. We've had a few names over the years, starting with Brisbane Water Legacy War Orphans Fund, then Brisbane Water, New South Wales Legacy Club, and now we are known as Central Coast New South Wales Legacy. Look out for a special 75th edition in July, in which we will provide our story throughout the last 75 years. Until next time, Heather Wilby, General Manager.
Chatterbox on audio CD. Many of our enrolled beneficiaries receive copies of Chatterbox on audio CD. If you are a sight impaired enrolled beneficiary or know someone who is, you can access an audio edition via MP3 or audio CD. If you would like an audio version of Chatterbox, please contact the Legacy office on 4323 4977.
Social Club News. Social Bus Report. Happy New Year to everyone. Wow, can't believe we are back into doing the bus trips. It only seemed like we were just getting over Christmas. I hope you all had a great festive season and are looking forward to getting back into the swing of our bus trips and a great year travelling to some interesting places, having some great food and conversation with some beautiful people. I cannot guarantee that the jokes will get any better, but I will do my best to entertain. We started our bus trips with a bang, visiting the picturesque Dobell House at Wangi Wangi, home of Wangi's most famous resident, William Dobell, the painter, which was well worth the trip, and I would recommend you at least visit once if you get the chance, followed by a wonderful lunch at Wangi Workers' Club. We also had our first of the village's bi-monthly trips, which was to the very popular Silly Solly's at Tuggera, followed by morning tea in the coffee shop next door, and was finished off with a visit to the Sarah Lee shop at Lizero. Other places of note were Belmont 16 Footers, Market Street Cafe, Swansea Workers' Club, Davistown RSL with a ferry trip thrown in, and the Because We Care boutique for morning tea at Glenning Valley. As always, the ongoing support of the legatees is greatly appreciated, and the ladies always like having a chat with whichever legatee is on the bus trip. Also, especially from my perspective, is the ongoing support and work from the staff of Legacy, Heather, Michael, Marie, Shane and Jess, which make my job a lot easier. While I might be out front on the bus trips, the four mentioned people are the engine room of Legacy and keep the place humming along. Their support has allowed some great initiatives, such as the buying of coffees for morning tea and allowing myself to become a member of various clubs, which allows the ladies to get members' prices, which on the trip to Wangi Workers' Club was a saving of over $30 for the group, which, as we know, every bit of saving helps. We are always open to trying new destinations, so if the ladies have some ideas, we will do our best to make this happen. Look forward to seeing you out on the bus trips. Bus joke? Do trains and buses run on time? No, they don't. Buses run on wheels while trains move along the tracks. Colin. Rosemary Social Club. Welcome 2026. I trust everyone had a lovely festive break with family and or friends. At our first meeting in February, it seemed so long since we last met in November, but so good to be back and checking on each other's welfare. We did get together in December for a lunch at the restaurant in the area at Tukli instead of having a meeting, and congratulations to Marilyn for again decorating our tables. And we were also grateful to Legacy for paying for our meals. Our numbers remain the same at 23, and usually we have 20 at our meetings. Some have left us, some have not been well, and we wish them all a speedy recovery. We anticipate having some interesting speakers come to our meetings this year, and a few suggestions have been put forward by members, but we do rely on Legatee Carolyn to do the organising. Lots of ideas for bus trips are thrown around, but I suspect as long as Cole, our bus driver, comes up with somewhere good for lunch, we will go wherever he takes us. February saw us go north for lunch at Swansea Workers' Club, but the trip to get there proved interesting. Why drive the freeway when there are alternative routes? March bus trip gave us our dose of culture when we had morning tea at the Japanese Gardens / Art Gallery, followed by the always reliable lunch at Shelley Beach Golf Club. Not only is Cole a great bus driver, but he's also improving at calling bingo at our meetings, although his jokes area is a bit corny. Of course, we did give him some from the Christmas crackers, so it's probably our own fault. We look forward to seeing you at our next meeting. Just contact Legacy if you need assistance with transport. Tukli Widows Group. It seems a long time since we were all enjoying the Christmas celebrations of last year. I must say that I did enjoy the Christmas party organised by Legacy at the Ari, where the entertainer, Lisa, involved everyone in the frivolity, including our best bus driver, Cole, and Legatees. Of course, we'd had a warm-up a few days prior, having our own Christmas party at the Tukli Golf Club, and a big thank you to Legacy for picking up the tab and a couple of our ladies for doing the decorations and little goodie surprises. Our year started in February, the meeting ably organised by Legacy General Manager Heather. We were a few down in the numbers there, being five apologies, but various members were able to report on each of those. One big plus of being a close-knit group is that we do keep an eye on each other. For those still unwell, we wish you a speedy recovery. It was great to have L/ Anne Taylor join us as well, and between the two we were brought up to date with what is happening in Legacy, and they were able to answer a few questions put by the ladies. Very trusting they were too. The bingo numbers were taken on trust as being correct. Our first bus trip of the year, taken in February with a full bus, was to the Waterfall Cafe for morning tea, coffees being paid for by Legacy, and then to Avoca Beach for fish and chips or other seafood. It was a lovely day for a bus trip, even if a bit steamy out of the bus. We went north in March during a trip around Lake Macquarie with lunch at Swansea RSL. Cole has a wallet full of club membership cards, which he utilises so everyone gets a discounted meal. Thank you, Colin. You're more than a pretty face, even if your jokes are corny. We look forward to many more enjoyable trips with you and the legatee who comes with us during the year. May will be upon us in no time, and we all look forward to the Mother's Day luncheon this year to be held at the Gosford RSL. I'm sure it will be a wonderful event and we will be able to catch up with the ladies from the other clubs, some who used to come to the Tookley meetings but understandably find it simpler to connect with their local group. Until then, stay safe and well. Widows Social Club Meetings. Sunflower Social Club meets at Etalong Beach Diggers Club on the first and third Friday of each month at 10 a.m, with a monthly social outing on the third Wednesday of each month. Wattle Social Club meets at Unit 102, No. 1 Shortland Street, Point Frederick, on the first and third Thursday of the month at 10 a.m. to 12 noon, with a social outing on the fourth Friday of the month. The Entrance Long Jetty Social Club meet at Diggers at the entrance on the third Monday of each month at 10 a.m. and a monthly social outing is on the first Tuesday of each month. Rosemary/Tookley Social Clubs. As of the 10th of March 2026, the Rosemary and Tookley Social Clubs combined, now known as Rosemary Social Club. The monthly meeting will be held on the second Tuesday of the month at the RE at 10 a.m. Social bus outings will be held on the third Thursday and fourth Wednesday of the month. For further information about our social clubs, please call 4323 4977. Wattle Social Club. At our last meeting in 2025, we truly had a Christmas theme. Sue brought lovely Christmas decorations for the tables. She gave everyone a gift. Our meals at Arena Leagues Club were delicious. We all felt in the festive mood. Sorry to hear some of our ladies have been ill. We do hope they are feeling better. Thanks to all the staff at Legacy and also to David, Karen and Kathy, who make our meetings enjoyable and informative. Our first meeting was due to be at the new apartments. Unfortunately, due to an unforeseen hitch, we had our first meeting in the Doug Fagan Lounge. The 2025 Legacy Christmas parties were held at two venues, one at the RE at Tookley and the other at Gosford RSL Club. I attended the Gosford event. The room was a buzz of excitement when I arrived. The entertainer for the day was Lisa, a lovely lady. She sang all the songs we love and after lunch she had us up swaying and singing to Sweet Caroline. It was great fun. There were lucky door prizes or Christmas hampers. Eve, who was a regular at our Wattle Club meetings, was celebrating at the function. Eve is 102. It was wonderful to see her out enjoying the day with her daughter Robin. Another lady from Etalong, who is also over at 100, also attended. Lunch was a scrumptious feast, thanks to Heather and her team on her first Christmas as general manager. Also, to all the legatees who complimented Heather's team to give us a wonderfully happy Christmas celebration. Wattle's last bus trip for 2025 was to Allison Homestead at Wyong. The place had a very nostalgic feel to it. It is a glimpse back to yesteryear. The first outing for 2026 was a ferry ride from Woi Woi to Davistown with lunch at Davo RSL, which is always very enjoyable. Wherever we go, it is always a terrific outing. Wattle bus trips are on the fourth Friday of the month. Looking forward to seeing where Colin takes us this year. Attendance to our meeting /bingo are good. Come and join us for a fun morning at Legacy on the first and third Thursday of the month at 10 a.m. Sunflower Social Club. We were off to an early start with an enjoyable coffee morning on January the 16th. It was well attended and many of the ladies decided to stay on for lunch. Our meetings are held at Etalong Diggers on the first and third Fridays of each month and monthly bus trips on the third Wednesday of the month. Three of our ladies booked to visit the Legacy Holiday House at Mossvale. They had a busy itinerary while there, with bus trips to local areas plus a day in Canberra. They have had a wonderful time and will be sharing details with us at the next meeting. What a wonderful opportunity for anyone able to make the trip. Our attendance has been down due to members being on holidays and also illness. We are hopeful our numbers will increase by the next meeting. At our first meeting, we had Heather Wilby, General Manager, and Legatee Bob Lowry, President, attend. They both updated us as to how things are progressing. Fantastics Choir. We were entertained by this wonderful group at the last meeting, such talented ladies who performed solo items and also as a group. What a delightful professional group of ladies. It was our pleasure and privilege to have them entertain us again. Belmont 16-foot Sailing Club, always a favourite venue with our members, pleasant scenic location and good food. We stopped on the way for coffee at the Market Street Cafe, Wangi, located adjoining the Wangi District Workers Club. It is set outside overlooking the Waterside Reserve, a relaxing place to take a break on the longer trip or, as we have done previously, for a coffee after a meal in the club area. We have been planning the itinerary for the coming year, guest speakers, special events, celebrations and bus trips. We are all looking forward to everything that has been planned. Our thanks go to Jessica and the legatees for their guidance and enthusiasm in organising and running all the meetings and activities that we enjoy. Social interaction is so necessary and appreciated by our members. We always extend our meetings with a coffee and or meal in the bistro. Sharing a cuppa or a meal is so much better than doing it alone. The Entrance Long Jetty Social Club. Welcome to the first edition of Chatterbox for 2026. Our best wishes to our friends who have been ill. We wish you a speedy recovery. Congratulations to Ivy, who celebrated her 99th birthday last October. Our breakup Christmas party luncheon was most enjoyable. Janice organised our table with a Christmas theme. Thanks to Michael, who took the meeting by himself. Thanks to Legacy staff for looking after us in 2025. You make all our social events so special. I attended the Christmas party at Gosford RSL, which I wrote about in the Wattle Social Club News. I believe the Christmas party at the RE was also a fun day. Our bus trip in November was to Morpeth. We headed there for morning tea and to browse the shops. Then it was on to Maitland Bay Bowling Club for lunch, which was quite tasty. We had Bill and Tony looking after us. The purple jacarandas in full bloom looked beautiful. When we dropped Bill off, he told us he was no longer going to be a legatee. Thanks, Bill, for looking after us also at our meetings. We will miss you and best wishes for the future. On our first February bus trip, we went to Dobell Cottage. It was the home of well-known Australian artist William Dobell, who won the Archibald Prize 3 times for his portraits. What a fascinating place to visit. The house is full of memorabilia. We were given a talk while we enjoyed morning tea. For those who couldn't walk on the different levels of the house, there was a very interesting documentary of Dobell's life playing on the TV. Committee members were most helpful and informative. Then it was on to Wangi Workers Club for lunch. It was a little disappointing as there was no Chinese. They now have different caterers. What a wonderful day out. Cheryl, Kathy and Faye from the Legacy Village joined us on this trip. Our members are good. We would welcome new members to our meetings on the third Monday of each month at 10 a.m. Come along and join our friendly group. Central Coast New South Wales Legacy operates widows social clubs at a variety of locations across the Central Coast. Our social clubs provide an opportunity for our enrolled beneficiaries to get together for a social catch-up, have a cuppa and a bicky, discuss social events including regular bus trips, bingo days, morning teas, luncheons and other events that may interest our beneficiaries. Transport can be arranged for our beneficiaries to attend the meetings. Each meeting is attended by our legatee liaison officers and also one of our welfare officers. If you are interested in attending one of our widows clubs, please contact the Legacy office on 1800 Legacy. 1-800-534-229 or 4323-4977. What Cadets Means to Me, Max Jarman. The Australian Army Cadets means far more to me than just a program I attend on a Friday night. It has become a place where I have grown as a leader, built lifelong friendships, challenged myself physically and mentally, and prepared for my future career in the Australian Defence Force. One of the things I value most about cadets is the leadership opportunities. During my time in the unit, I have developed real leadership skills that are preparing me for the Army upon graduation. Being recently appointed as a Section 2IC has been one of the most rewarding experiences of my cadet journey. There is nothing better than seeing the cadets in my section learn new skills and apply what they have been taught. Leadership in cadets is not just about giving orders. It is about setting the example, supporting your team, and pushing each other to be better. These are skills I know will benefit me not only in a future military career, but also in everyday life. The BIVs in Singleton have been some of the best experiences of my life. Being surrounded by like-minded people who share my interests and values creates an environment where everyone pushes each other to improve. During BIVs, I have demonstrated leadership in real-world applications that closely mimic military processes. My favourite memory from cadets is the AFX week in Singleton, where we competed and won the brigade competition. That week was filled with endless activities, sports we created ourselves, and constant teamwork. Being away from technology and distractions, fully immersed with people who share my values, made it one of the best weeks I have ever experienced. Another major highlight has been the WTSS, where I achieved a grouping in the 60mm range. Along with the live fire shoot, it was a moment that reflected the discipline, focus and training that cadets teach. Experiences like this give me insight into the standards and mindset required in the ADF. One of my proudest moments was the tire drag. Dragging a tire on a chain alongside 20 other cadets tested my physical and mental resilience. It pushed me far outside my comfort zone. Even when it became tough, I chose to persist and encouraged others to dig deep and keep going. That shared discomfort built real teamwork. At the end, I was honoured to receive a challenge coin from the AAC Colonel for resilience, teamwork and persistence. Cadets has given me more than skills. It has given me confidence, discipline, resilience and a clearer understanding of what is required for my future in the ADF. It has taught me the importance of leadership, teamwork and perseverance when times are tough. To me, cadets is not just an activity, it is a foundation for my future and a community that continues to shape the person and leader I am becoming. Ronald William Evans. Ronald William Evans, 9th of the 1st, 1898 to the 3rd of the 7th, 1989. Ron Evans was elected the first president of Brisbane Water, New South Wales Legacy Club at the inaugural meeting held in June 1951. The first annual report was presented for year ended June 30th, 1952. Some interesting facts from this report include 35 members, one had resigned during the year, 8 committees, 84 families registered with 96 children under the age of 16. Welfare expenditure for the year was £876, 12 shillings and 11 pence, and over £400 was held in trust by the Entrance RSL for a building fund. Two torchbearer groups were formed, Gosford and the Entrance. Gosford RSL provided a club room for monthly meetings. Ron was born in Cape Town, South Africa, on the 9th of January 1898 to Harry and Edith, near Killingbeck. He was the second of five children. The eldest, Harry Lindley, became well known as the ABC's Mr. Melody Man. Harry was a chemist moving to South Africa from England. He had become engaged to Edith in England. They were married in Cape Town on the 6th of November, 1893. By 1910, the family were in Australia living in Drummoyne, then Haberfield, Sydney. Ron applied to enlist in the Australian Imperial Force on the 23rd of January, 1918, aged 19 years 1 month. He had been a student at Hurlston Park Agricultural School before winning a scholarship for Hawkesbury Agricultural College. All students could defer their studies in order to join the army. He was serving in the militia in Australia with a light horse field ambulance at this time. On the 17th of February 1917, he had passed his medical examination and had signed attestation papers for service abroad. He was assigned to the 8th Field Artillery Brigade, service number 34738. By the 21st of June of that year, he was aboard HMAT Suvik A29, embarking from Melbourne, disembarking in England. He spent some time there before sailing to France on the 17th of November, first to Rules, then in the field. Ron suffered a lot of illness from the 6th of December 1918, spending time in a military hospital but remaining in France. Eventually, he was shipped to England on the 2nd of March 1919. From this date until the 3rd of May 1919, he was convalescing, then returned to Australia on the Leicestershire. His illnesses included influenza, pneumonia, measles, and emphysema. He earned the British War Medal and Victory Medal. Ron later applied for and received the Combat de la Somme, 1914-18-1940 Commemorative Medal, which became available in 1954. Ron was allotted a run-down orange farm in Somersby as his soldiers' settlement. He became an orchardist, growing citrus and vegetables on Mangrove Mountain, New South Wales. He married Netta Cameron Biddle on the 25th of April 1925 in Richmond, New South Wales. They had two children, Ronald Barry and Margaret Jean, both deceased. He and Netta now have 7 grandchildren, 13 great-grandchildren and 7 great-great-grandchildren. On the 1st of April 1942, Ron enlisted again, this time in the 31st Battalion Volunteer Defence Corps, service number N286688, at the age of 44. He reached the rank of acting captain before offering his resignation on the 1st of August 1944. This was accepted and his duty was terminated on the 13th of October 1944. He and Netta were both active in the community. Ron was a founding member of the Gosford Golf Club and president of the Gosford RSL. He played cricket for New South Wales Country 11 against the South African Test team in 1933, playing at the SCG. Netta was a co-foundation member of the Somersby CWA. Ron died on the 3rd of July 1989. Netta had died on the 9th of January 1986. With thanks to Stuart Evans and Sue Larcombe, grandchildren of Ron and Netta, who contributed some information and photographs. Pam Morton. Centenarians. In an enduring testament to the life within our legacy family, and for the 13th year in succession, we devote this article to recognising and congratulating those amongst us who have become centenarians since last August. Achieving this uniquely amazing occasion deservedly warrants great honour, and we take this moment to celebrate the treasure of their lives. The thoughts and memories of 7 most special ladies are shared. Patsy Dodd. I was born in Dunedin, New Zealand. I went to Caversham Primary and Otago Girls High School. During school, I aspired to be a math teacher, but this was during the war, which made it difficult, so I ended up getting a job at the Bank of New Zealand. After the war was over, we all got a bit restless, so a couple of girlfriends and I decided to come to Australia for a holiday in 1950. While in Australia, I called in to the Bank of New Zealand to pick up my mail. While I was there, the councilman asked if I had a job as yet, and after I told him I hadn't, he told me I start Monday. My girlfriends and I were renting a house from a family who went travelling for a year. I met my husband, John, through his brother, who happened to call in and asked us girls out, and it was a year later we got married. We were living in Hertsville Grove and had 3 sons together. After the boys had all moved out and got married, John and I moved to Sanssouci, as my husband liked to live near the club. John had his own book company and I worked with him for 40 years. My father-in-law had property at Pretty Beach, and after he passed away, each of his 6 children inherited a block of land, which is where John and I retired in 1996. Sadly, in 2007, John had a stroke and shortly passed away after that. I had found that I was not looking after myself, and a year later I had a stroke. Luckily, it was mild and I was able to live quite independently at home afterwards. I was grateful to have a lovely English couple, Martin and Julie, who lived next door to me. They did everything for me and treated me like their mother. I am so grateful to have had them, and I am still very close with them to this day. I had gone back to New Zealand in 1996, just after I finished work for a reunion, and was planning on going back for another reunion in 2021. Sadly, COVID-19 hit and international travel shut down until that year. Unfortunately, I ended up having a heart attack, and sadly, following that turn of health, I required the assistance of a walking frame and unfortunately was starting to have a few falls. In February 2025, I had a very bad fall and broke my hip, which resulted in me having to move into the Orchards Aged Care Facility where I currently reside. I still enjoy watching the cricket, as I have followed cricket all my life with my sons having played when they were young. I look forward to watching 1% on the television and playing along with the questions. I have always been a healthy eater. I never drank or smoked, so I would say this is why I have made it to my 100th birthday. Veronica Carey, ne causa, known as Bonnie, as told on the 27th of the 1st, 26. I was born on December the 6th, 1925, at Young in the Riverina of New South Wales, where my father and mother had a farm. I was the second eldest of 12 children, 9 girls and 3 boys. Dad sold the farm and we moved to Sydney in 1934 as Mother wanted a better chance at life and education for us 9 girls, and Dad had no one to carry on the farm. The 3 boys in the family were born after we moved to Sydney. I went to school at St Pius in Enmore and left school at 13 to go to work. I worked at the Burley factory near Central as a finisher for 5 or 6 years until the war commenced. I then went to work at a munitions factory as a machinist. Women were encouraged to help with the war effort in factories and on the land as soldiers left the country for overseas combat duty. We were paid 90% of the male wage, as women were deemed incapable of doing any heavy lifting. I became engaged to Ray Yabsley in 1943, who was in the RAAF. He left for England soon after and was attached to the British Royal Air Force Bomber Command Division. His plane was lost over the North Sea with no survivors. He was 3 weeks from his 21st birthday. I was honoured to have his ultimate sacrifice acknowledged with a last post ceremony conducted at the Australian War Memorial in 2023. After the war, I worked in a packaging factory where I met Jack Carey, a veteran, and we were married in 1947. We were married for 52 years. We lived in Sydenham and moved to Woi Woi on the Central Coast 28 years ago. We had 3 children, 2 boys, Patrick and Kevin, daughter Helen, and our foster son, Rodney. My son, Kevin, lives here on the coast, and my other children live in Sydney, so all close enough for visits. I have 4 sisters still alive, my younger sister, Madge, who is 96 and also lives at Woi Woi, and I meet regularly for lunch, and I speak with my other sisters each week on the phone. I have 9 grandchildren, 3 great-grandchildren and 1 great-great-grandson. I married again in 2004 to my first fiancé's eldest brother, Tom Yabsley, also a veteran, who sadly passed away in 2011. I've had a blessed life with a wonderful, loving family and true friendships. I have travelled around the world, twice visiting countries in Europe, Scandinavia, China and Japan. A trip to Gallipoli holds a special place in my heart, however there is no place like home. I had a wonderful party to celebrate my 100th birthday with family and friends who travelled from many places including Melbourne, Queensland and Coffs Harbour. A few days after my birthday, I had the joy of reconnecting with my godson after 80 years. He tracked me down after sorting through his recently departed mother's papers. What a wonderful occasion, as the last time I saw him, he was in my arms at his baptism. I was 20 years old and he is now 80. We look forward to many more catch-ups. I so enjoy my time with Legacy for socialising at our meetings, lunches and coffee mornings with my friends. The large functions of Mother's Day and Christmas are most enjoyable. The security of knowing Legacy is there for support is very comforting. My secret to longevity: take each day as it comes, tell a wonderful story, and always enjoy a good laugh. Elsie Elford, as told the 6th of the 2nd, 26. I was born in Yorkshire in February 1926 and grew up in Gomershall, a small village nestled between Leeds and Huddersfield. As the youngest of four children, I was fortunate to have a loving and caring family, which made my childhood truly wonderful. My father worked in the iron industry and my mother stayed home to raise us. World War II was the defining event of my teenage years. By the winter of 1943, the war had made home feel cold and lonely, with most of my friends gone. All I wanted was to turn 18 and join the Air Force. As soon as I was old enough, I went to Leeds to sign up, then returned home to plead my case with my parents. They were not at all thrilled about the idea of their youngest child leaving home, especially given their vivid memories of the devastation caused by the previous war. However, I was determined. After much persuasion, I convinced my father to sign the papers. Soon after, I was off to Leeds for my medical examination and then enlisted in the Women's Auxiliary Air Force, the WAF. Much of the rest of the war was spent at an airbase in Stornoway, Scotland, where I provided weather forecasts for our pilots. In 1947, I took a chance and came to Australia as a visitor. Eventually, I made it my home. I married Clarence Riley, and together we settled in Sydney, where we had two wonderful children and, later, six grandchildren. Sadly, Clarence passed away in 1991. In Sydney, I worked as a nurse at Eva Horden Hospital and was an active member of the Red Cross. I became an Australian citizen in 1992, and just a few years later, in 1995, I married Harry Ulford. Together we travelled the world before settling on the central coast in Etalong, where we enjoyed a peaceful and fulfilling life. When Harry passed away in 2012, I joined the Women's Network and have been an active member ever since. One of my greatest passions has always been reading, a love I share with my grandson. When I was 93, I wrote a memoir about my time in the WAF. My grandson insisted I include the opening paragraph, which can now be found in Umina Library. Into the Blue Grey. Memory is an old friend, but fickle, one who comes and goes to suit himself. Sometimes tedious, sometimes repetitive, even boring, but always capricious. He pops in to drop hints of exciting times before wandering off to who knows where, only to return once more, full of adventure and lovely images. I know I must trap memory now and get his story down onto paper before he disappears. And so, like Alice, I am off down the rabbit hole, and like the white rabbit, I must hurry before I am too late. I have been truly blessed with a long and fulfilling life, one in which I have witnessed countless moments of joy and met many remarkable people along the way. As I look ahead, I remain curious, hopeful, and eager to see what comes next in this extraordinary journey. Shirley Adams, as told, the 11th of the 2nd, 26. I was born in Sydney Women's Hospital, the first of two children. My sister, Heather, followed 5 years later. Dad worked on the railways as a shunter, and Mum, like most those days, was the homemaker caring for us. I grew up in Belmore and Lakemba during the Depression, and although we didn't have much, we were happy. Money was tight, but there was still fun to be had. You thought you were made if you got sixpence to go to the pictures on a Saturday afternoon. I played skipping and hopscotch with the neighbourhood kids in quiet streets, and both Heather and I spent many school holidays with cousins in Kangaroo Valley. Many fond memories there, including singing around the piano. I began work at 16 years old as the cashier at David Taylor's department store, sorting money that arrived in wooden balls via overhead pulleys. During the war years, I had a role as a cipher assistant in the Royal Australian Air Force. Posted to Point Cook and later Sydney, I encoded and decoded secret messages. It was very interesting, and I remember clearly the day the message came through announcing the end of the war. By that time, I had been promoted to corporal and had made many friends. After demobilisation, I returned to Sydney and met the great love of my life, Bill, while sailing on the Wurrunurra River shortly before my 21st birthday. Bill had been a commando, 12 months behind enemy lines, and was the most honest person I've ever met. Our connection was immediate, and we married in 1948. Not long before our wedding, though, Bill had received a devastating cancer diagnosis. It was an extremely difficult period. Our son Lee arrived 8 weeks early and spent his first month in hospital, a separation I still remember deeply. Bill's health continued to decline, and after daily bus trips to Concord Repatriation Hospital, 14 months later, Bill passed away in 1949. At only 23 years old, I was now both a new mother and a widow. I drew my strength at that time from my wonderfully loving and supportive parents who brought myself and Lee to live with them at Werris Creek and later Gosford following Dad's transfer as a guard. We stayed with Mum and Dad till losing Dad in 1968, Lee's marriage in 1971 and Mum's passing in 1980. When Lee started school, I returned to work, taking a job at the Gosford Telephone Exchange. I stayed with him for 32 years on rotating shifts and helping to keep the district connected as the region grew. I loved my work. During those early years, I was approached to join Legacy. Despite a combination of busy work schedules and home life, I remember taking Lee to Legacy's physical culture programs and met with other mums till 6:30 p.m. finishes, and many friendships were also formed. This was something I was to appreciate more after retirement, working to 1985, through greater friendships formed attending fortnightly Brisbane Water, New South Wales, Legacy Widows Club meetings. I didn't move from the Gosford home to a townhouse in East Gosford till 2004, and only from there to Henry Kendall Service Departments 2 years ago. Sadly, only 3 weeks after that, Lee passed aged 75. Despite my profound loss, my extended family, including daughter-in-law Carol and granddaughters Kathy and Susan, remain close, offering unconditional company, support and love, always. Throughout my life, I've enjoyed tennis, golf, movies and thoroughly enjoyed many travel highlights with my sister-in-law Meg. I did love driving too, and though I am still capable, I handed that in at 98 as I didn't want to cause an accident. I've always simply been busy. Slowing down now, the hardest thing is not being able to do what you used to do. With some honesty, I am finding the lounge comforting though. If I were to offer wisdom to pass on, simply think of other people. Be kind. Credits to Keaton, Shirley and family. Gladys Edwards. I was born in Ryde, Sydney, but not in the hospital. It was in a maternity ward where the midwives worked. My father worked in the mines at Bellbird Colliery in Cessnock, which is where I grew up. When I left school, I helped out at the hospital as a nurse's aide. When I was 17, I met my first husband and married him a year later when I was 18, and a year after that, we had our first child, Judith, and my second, Elaine, at 21. My husband worked in the coal mines. We used to walk everywhere in those days. I remember one day we were walking up Aberdare Road, where a cemetery is located. As we were walking along, all of a sudden, a white thing came out of the cemetery. I thought it was a ghost. It scared me so much. Luckily, it ended up just being a white horse. It was in 1963 we went our separate ways. One day I answered an ad in the Telegraph about a live-in housekeeper on a property in Deniliquin. I got the job and worked on a property, Boonoak, and this is where I met my second husband, Albert. We got married in Deniliquin, and he and I had about 40 wonderful years together. We loved going to the dances at the local RSL, and we did a lot of travel before he took ill and I looked after him for 10 years. After he passed away, I moved into the Legacy Village in Gosford, where I made many friends and I was very involved with the Gosford Widows group. I thoroughly miss it and the friends I made while living there. I now live closer to my daughter Elaine in the FRBI Lake Haven Masonic Village. It's lovely to be closer to my daughter. I have made a great friend. I still go out on the bus and socialise in village activities. I have 10 grandchildren and 19 great-grandchildren, and I've lost count of all the great-great-grandchildren. There are so many. I believe the answer to longevity is eating healthy and not smoking. My sisters also lived into their 90s. Gladys Donovan, as told, the 3rd of the 2nd, 26. I was born Gladys Gould in Maxville, the third down the line of 7 children. Dad was a timber worker and, without doubt, around Sydney Harbour there remains many of the girders and transoms he may have cut. Mum was the homemaker raising us all. Throughout my young life, I attended many different schools, as with Dad's job, we followed the bush. I simply loved childhood in the country, and as we were located some distance out of town, our pastime activities found themselves within the close knit of family. While there was no opportunity for sports, I do remember many wonderful hopscotch and marbles matches amongst many others. I left school at 14 years old to help bring some small extra income to the home. This was done by helping other families doing it hard. My first real job was nursing at Nowra Private Hospital. It wasn't long until I was to meet the love of my life on a dance floor at Nowra Diggers. He was a butcher by trade and a very good talker. I was only 16. After courting for 18 months, we married and remained in Nowra, raising 4 children, 3 boys and 1 girl. When our eldest was 12 years old, we moved to Goulburn, then on to Crookwell and thereafter Sydney. When he had returned from war, he didn't want to work inside anymore, so he secured a job with the PMG. I continued looking after our home and the care of our children. Sadly, my husband suffered a stroke at 50 years old and had to retire. Despite health challenges, I lovingly nursed his care at home until his passing at 85 years old. Only 3 years ago, I moved to the Central Coast from Mortdale to live with my daughter Maureen and son-in-law Sam, who felt I'd been long enough on my own. Surrounded by love and attention, I live the life of luxury and feel well and truly spoilt. I attend Bridge at Gosford Leagues twice a week, enjoy the meeting friendships and bus trips from Legacy's Etalong Sunflower Social Club, and am included in all family involvements. I can't tell you why I've reached this age, other than to say I've never smoked, though I do enjoy a wine and will eat most any food, especially fish. I simply don't feel old and have never been one to sit and do nothing. In quiet moments, I can catch a movie, enjoy reading, or even continue some crochet. I also feel blessed to this day still having a younger sister in Nowra and a brother at Bribie Islands. Joan Burke. I was born in Moree, New South Wales, on the 24th of the 2nd of 1926, the eldest of 6 children to my parents George and Ella Neves. During the Depression and with work scarce, my father, a carpenter builder, packed his family and possessions into his truck and went on the road looking for work. Working our way down the east coast of New South Wales, the family finally settled at Parramatta. After leaving school, I worked at Phillips Radio, Parramatta Road, Homebush, New South Wales, as a radio worker, where I met my soon-to-be husband, Kevin Burke, radio mechanic. Kevin and I were married in the Methodist Mission Church, Redfern, Sydney, New South Wales, on the 16th of October 1943. During World War II, Kevin served 2 tours of duty in the 55th and 53rd Australian Infantry Battalion, AIF, as a Bren gunner. First tour was fighting at Buna and Senananda in New Guinea, and second tour doing garrison duty at the Bougainville Island Japanese POW camp. While Kevin was at Bougainville, our first child, Robert John, was born. Then after the war, Robert was followed by Raymond Bruce, deceased, Paul Edward, deceased, and Graham Charles. Our family was allocated a housing commission house in Linthorne Street, South Granville, where the 4 boys attended Granville South Public School. While raising 4 boys and running the house, I did casual work at S&T Switchgear, Guildford, Cycle Components, Guildford, as a barmaid at Guildford Hotel and Murray Brothers Department Store, Parramatta, as a sales assistant. When all the boys had left home, Kevin and I did some overseas travel to Hawaii, USA and New Zealand. Following Kevin's accident with a power saw, Kevin and I retired to the holiday home that Kevin had built at Batu Bay on the Central Coast for some years until we sold up and returned to South Granville, buying a house in Blackcell Street. Kevin passed away in 1989 of cancer, and I lived alone for many years until I had a fall at home and broke my hip. After discharge from Westmead Hospital, Robert, who lives on the Central Coast, brought me back to the Central Coast to be closer to him and placed me in Wallera Point Care Community, Tookley, where I currently reside. Welfare Officers Parsons and Stoker. Health and Safety. A Day in the Life of a Podiatrist. Legatee Marianne McHugh. 6 o'clock, starting my day off with a skip in my step, a walk on the beach to welcome the day and to reaffirm how lucky we are to be alive, to feel the sun on our face and the sand at our feet. And a bonus, the sunrises are spectacular. 8 o'clock, getting on with good mornings to all the familiar faces in the village, then settling down at my desk for administration duties, following up on doctors and specialist reports and referrals, and getting my day on the way. Iced coffee or a smoothie in hand, add a bit of protein powder, banana, blueberries and Greek yogurt. Yummo. 9 o'clock. My first appointment of the day. A neurovascular diabetic foot assessment. Very important for people with reduced blood flow. This involves a Doppler ultrasound, waveform non-invasive scan as pictured to the right, and nerve testing performed in the clinic to screen for the complications of diabetes on the lower legs and feet that affect the blood flow and nerve supply. A full report is sent to your GP and, if required, a request for a specialist referral for further investigation. 9:30 to 12:30. My day moves on with more appointments. General foot care treatments, toenails cut, cleared and filed for those finding it difficult to no longer reach down or see well enough to do themselves. There is no shame in this. That's what us podiatrists are here for. Cracked heels, ingrown and thickened nails, gout, bunions, hammer toes, flat foot deformity, rheumatoid arthritis, leg length differences, neuropathic pain, ouch. These are all issues I treat on a daily basis. Fitting of compression garments and footwear advice. Wound care. 1:30. Falls prevention clinic. A 2-hour clinic once a week for a 7-week course. 1 hour of information and guest speakers. Gains confidence and balance. Includes morning afternoon tea. 3:30. Orthotic reviews. Casting for custom-made orthotics and adjustments. Footwear referrals, footwear that is safe and supportive is assessed and if required and eligible. A referral can be made under the Department of Veterans Affairs or privately. 4 o'clock. Seeing children getting ready for sport and helping them get prepared to play games. Strapping, taping and supporting with insoles. The sports vary from soccer and netball to road running, cycling, ballet, tennis and martial arts. I remind myself these kids are our future athletes and Olympians and love to do my part in educating and preventing injury. It is fun to hear them so competitive. 4:30, home visits. It's almost a wrap for my day. But before I head home myself, I could be on my way to your place to continue what I do in clinic with the convenience of coming if you are no longer mobile or unwell to travel. 5 o'clock. We've reached that part of the afternoon where I get to put my feet up and reflect on everything I do in a day as a podiatrist. I might just consider this is the best part of my day because I get to look back on all the connections I've made, hopefully having made a difference to each person and their quality of life. I would say it's a day pretty jam-packed with the joys of life. Oh, and remember to always thank the wonderful staff who make my day run so smoothly. Thank you, ladies, so very grateful. Please check your feet carefully, as I know you will. From little things, big things grow. Saratoga Medical, 02-4363-1066. Etalong Podiatry, 02-4344-4340. Public Relations and Community Engagement Committee. Air Force Cadets. On Thursday, the 11th of the 12th, 2025, the Arena Parade Ground came alive with colour, precision and pride as 311, City of Gosford, Squadron hosted its 43rd annual review parade, a highlight of the squadron calendar and a celebration of a year's worth of dedication, growth and achievement. Families, friends, community leaders and invited guests gathered to watch 311 Squadron display the discipline and teamwork that underpin the values of the Australian Air Force Cadets and Royal Australian Air Force: service, courage, respect, integrity and excellence. The annual review parade is not only a ceremonial occasion but also an opportunity to recognise outstanding performance. Awards were presented to cadets who excelled in areas such as leadership, cadet program achievement and overall commitment to the squadron. Of particular note was the presentation of the Central Coast Legacy Award for Efficiency to Cadet Under Officer Mitch Frith by Legatee Glenn Andrew. This award was donated by Central Coast Legacy in 2024 and recognises the 311 Squadron Cadet who has displayed outstanding efficiency and commitment in the conduct of their duties throughout the training year. Over the past year, 311 Squadron Cadets participated in a diverse training program that included bivouacs, community service, aviation theory, flying experiences and leadership courses. These activities are designed to build resilience, confidence and practical skills that extend far beyond the parade ground. As the City of Gosford Squadron, the unit maintains strong ties with the local community. The presence of civic representatives and supporters at the parade underscored the important role 311 Squadron plays in youth development across the region. BOMAS fundraising event. On Sunday, the 16th of November 2025, BOMAS MC hosted a highly successful Ride for Legacy event, which drew approximately 140 bikers for a scenic ride from Heather Bray Pies at Urumumbar to the Urumumbar RSL Club. The ride, which lasted around 2 hours, showcased the beauty of the Central Coast and was followed by a luncheon, refreshments, raffles and games. Notably, this event has experienced significant growth in attendance over the past 3 years, with many beneficiaries, 12 legatees and their partners and staff attending. There were various activities, including witnessing an Army enactment unit's impressive drill display with 303 rifles. The Bikers of Military Ancestry Service, BOMAS, have supported Legacy by raising funds, which have allowed us to provide financial support for 85 Christmas hampers, meticulously purchased and packed by our hard-working staff and delivered in the second week of December by some of our most committed legatees. HMAS Voyager Commemoration Service. The annual HMAS Voyager Commemoration Service was conducted by the Naval Association Central Coast Subsection at the Memorial in Rogers Park, Woi Woi, on Saturday, February the 14th, 2026. This service highlights the heroic actions of Chief Petty Officer Jonathan Rogers, DSO, GC, a local resident following the collision with the aircraft carrier HMAS Melbourne off Jervis Bay, New South Wales, on February the 10th, 1964. Chief Petty Rogers went down with the ship on that fateful night, together with 82 other naval personnel, and for his actions was posthumously awarded the George Cross for Valour. This award was the equivalent of the Victoria Cross, which couldn't be awarded in peacetime under the old Imperial Honour System. Rogers Park in Woi Woi is named in his honour. Three of Jonathan Rogers' children and two Voyager crew attended the service, as well as local dignitaries, ex-service organisations joining those who gathered to remember the worst peacetime Royal Australian naval loss in Australia. Attending the service were members of the Central Coast Naval Cadet Unit located at Point Clare. The unit has recently been reformed and is growing each month with new cadet members. Central Coast Legacy has approached the unit asking for volunteer support during 2026 Legacy Week, which they are keen to participate in. It was a great honour to represent Central Coast Legacy at this ceremony, and congratulations to Colin Wilde on providing such an amazing event. Legatee Bailey. Veterans Mentor Graduation. On Sunday the 26th of January, I was honoured to be the reviewing officer and guest speaker at the Veterans Mentor Graduation Parade at Morisset. Veteran Mentors youth military programs are designed to assist children aged 12 to 17 to become accountable for both their behaviour and decisions. These programs are ideal for children addicted to technology or who are demonstrating poor behaviours, low self-esteem and a lack of respect. They're also ideal for propelling youth to reach their fullest potential. BOMAS Donation Presentation Morning Tea. On Saturday the 13th of December, President Bob Lowry, legatees and staff, a number of beneficiaries and the Public Relations and Community Engagement team hosted BOMAS MC for a donation acceptance morning tea in the Doug Fagan Lounge at the Legacy Village. a very generous donation in excess of $22,000 that will assist in funding the Christmas Day hampers. Additionally, some of these funds will be diverted to the new Kickstart program administrated by the Scholarship Committee. The Kickstart program will provide additional scholarship funding to approved applicants for the arts, sport or trades. Book review. Edith Blake's War, Christa Vane Tempest. Edith was born on the 22nd of September 1885 to Charles and Catherine. She had two younger sisters. The family lived in Marrickville, Sydney, New South Wales. She was accepted as a trainee nurse in 1908 at the Coast Hospital, later known as the Prince Henry, at Little Bay. The Coast Hospital specialised in treating infectious diseases. Her training gave Edith expertise in hygienic practices, surgery nursing, and patient care. She graduated as a junior sister in 1912 and remained at the Coast until 1915. Edith had attempted to enlist twice in the Australian Army Nursing Service during 1914, but was rejected. In early 1915, Edith was one of a group of Australian nurses selected for service with the British Queen Alexandra's Imperial Military Nursing Service. She was appointed a staff nurse on the 4th of April 1915 and 2 days later sailed from Sydney on HMAT Malwa. From then until February 1918, Edith nursed the wounded of Gallipoli while she was serving in Cairo. She also nursed German prisoners of war, writing in a letter home, "I do not like them, but somehow when I am dressing their wounds, I forget their nationality." Edith was on the HS Glenart Castle, setting sail from Newport, Wales on the 25th of February 1918, with their destination being Brest, France. The following morning, while in the Bristol Channel, a German U-boat torpedo tore through the ship behind the starboard engine room, causing it to list to one side. Within 7 minutes, the ship sank. Edith was one of the 8 nurses aboard to have drowned. While 25 nurses died during their service in World War I, Edith was the only nurse to be killed as a result of enemy action. Edith Blake's name is on the commemorative roll at the Australian War Memorial with other Australians who died during World War I but did not serve in the Australian Armed Forces. She is also commemorated on the Hollybrook Memorial at Southampton in England. Christa Vane Tempest is a grandniece of Edith. She wrote this book following the discovery of 138 letters written by Edith during her service. Kathy's Kitchen. Something really old-fashioned, delicious, super easy and almost no cooking. Bread and butter pickles. Ingredients: 5 Lebanese cucumbers, thinly sliced. 2 small brown onions, thinly sliced. 1 tablespoon of salt. 1.5 cups of apple cider vinegar. 1 cup of caster sugar. 2 teaspoons of mustard seeds. 2 teaspoons of coriander seeds. Large pinch of ground turmeric. Method 1. Place sliced cucumber, onion and salt in a bowl and toss to combine. Cover with plastic wrap and leave overnight in the fridge to soften. 2. Remove and rinse mixture in a colander to remove salt. Pat dry with paper towel. 3. Place vinegar, sugar, mustard seeds, coriander seeds and turmeric in a medium saucepan over medium heat. Cook while stirring for 3 minutes or until sugar dissolves. Add the cucumber mixture, bring to a simmer and turn heat off. 4. Transfer mixture to a clean, dry, sterilised glass jar. Seal and invert for 2 minutes. 5. Set aside for a day to allow flavours to develop. 6. Grate with cheese and biscuits. Varley. Ball, June. Barry, Kathleen. Botel, Ruth. Bradley, Jean. Butler, Robin, disabled dependent. Campbell, Shirley. Clark, Betty. Cross, Lila. Driver, Jean. Emerton, Norma. Fisher, Anne. Green, Alidus. Hall, Judith. Leroy, June. Nugent, Maria. Simpson, Thelma. Stahl, Gladys. Stevenson, Dulcie. Toakley, Valerie. Willis, Alice. Wolf, Doreen. Yates, Annie. Yirali's Monica. Tread softly, for you all walk on my dreams. In the quiet of the vale. Beneath the arch of fading day, we gather here to speak your name. The road bends on, you walk away, yet leave behind a steady flame. Your laughter lingers in the air, your kindness roots in every heart. Though time will pull us otherwhere, your light will never drift apart. So go with grace, and may you find new hills to climb, new skies to see. The veil remembers, intertwined with all you've given, endlessly.
Continuing our legacy of care. There is a form provided in the print edition of Chatterbox. At the top of the form, there are two tick boxes if you would like information sent to you about how to help as a legacy volunteer or how to make a bequest to legacy. Underneath that, there is a space provided to write the dollar amount of your gift to the legacy family and tick boxes to indicate whether a cheque is enclosed or whether you would like legacy to debit your credit card. There is also a space for your credit card number and to indicate whether your card is Visa, Amex or MasterCard. You are then required to write the name on the card's expiry date, the CVN number, see note, your signature, your address and postcode, and your telephone number. All donations over $2 are tax deductible. Please return this coupon to Central Coast, New South Wales, Legacy, Post Office Box 4252, East Gosford, New South Wales, 2250. Note, the CVN number is the number that provides extra security for online payments. It's a 3-digit number on the back of Visa or MasterCard credit cards, or a 4-digit number on the back of an Amex card.
From our readers. Dear Heather, this is a very belated thank you to Legacy for the lovely floral arrangement I received for my 80th birthday, October 16th. I was very touched by the sentiment and also the lovely card I received. Your annual birthday and Christmas cards are very much appreciated, as is the tireless work Legacy does for war widows. Thank you again. Kind regards, JR. To everyone at Central Coast Legacy, thank you so much for my Christmas hamper. It was such a great surprise and very much welcomed. Have a lovely Christmas to all of you at Legacy, from JG. To Heather and Legacy staff, thank you very much for the Christmas hamper. I'm so grateful. I wish you all a Merry Christmas and very Happy New Year. With warm regards, IG. To Jessica and the team, a special note of thanks that's sent to you to say how much your kindness has really made my days over Christmas. Thank you and many wishes from HB. To Marianne and all the folk at Legacy, thank you for the Christmas hamper, MF. To Central Coast Legacy, thank you for the beautiful flower arrangement on my 105th birthday. Truly a surprise, MB. To the wonderful Legacy staff of Central Coast, thank you so much for the beautiful Christmas hamper given to me today and to Michael for delivering it. Thank you so much for your kindness. I wish you all a happy Christmas. Sincerely, M.E. Thanks to Legacy Marianne for delivering a lovely Christmas hamper to my home. It is full of special treats and I will enjoy all of them. Many thanks to Legacy for their thoughts and to the people involved in collecting the goodies and putting the hampers together. It was a nice surprise. T.P. To legatees and staff at Central Coast Legacy, also BOMAS, thank you for the lovely hamper and the care shown throughout the year. Merry Christmas and best wishes for 2026. JK. To Bob Lowry, thank you so much for the birthday card you sent me on behalf of Central Coast Legacy. That was so lovely to receive and much appreciated. Kind regards, DB. I would like to thank the legatees and staff for their kind birthday wishes for my 98th. I wish you all a very happy Christmas. P.S. Looking forward to a card next year. I.S. The lighter side of life. If you want to know how old a woman is, ask her sister-in-law. Eva Gabor. Old age comes at a bad time. Ed Sullivan. Inside every older person is a younger person wondering what happened. Stevie Wonder. Old age is like a plane flying through a storm. Once you are aboard, there is nothing you can do about it. Golda Meir. The older I get, the more clearly I remember things that never happened. Mark Twain. I'm at that age where my back goes out more than I do, Phyllis Diller. Nice to be here? At my age, it's nice to be anywhere, George Burns. First you forget names, then you forget faces, then you forget to pull your zipper up, then you forget to pull your zipper down, Rob Reiner. Everything seems to slow down with age, except the time it takes cake and ice cream to reach your hips, Elizabeth Taylor. Old people shouldn't eat healthy food. They need all the preservatives they can get, Bob Hope. At my age, flowers scare me, George Burns. It's like you trade the virility of the body for the agility of the spirit, Ed Sullivan. When I was young, I was called a rugged individualist. When I was in my 50s, I was considered eccentric. Here I am doing and saying the same things I did then, and I'm labelled senile. Milton Berle. The important thing is to remember is that I'm probably going to forget. Martin Scorsese. We don't grow older, we grow riper. Pablo Picasso. At age 20, we worry about what others think of us. At age 40, we don't care what they think of us. At age 60, we discover they haven't been thinking of us at all. Anne Landers. The years between 55 and 75 are the hardest. You are always being asked to do things, and yet you are not decrepit enough to turn them down. T.S. Eliot. It's paradoxical that the idea of living a long life appeals to everyone, but the idea of getting old doesn't appeal to anyone. Andy Rooney. The older I get, the better I used to be. Lee Trevino. I was thinking about how people seem to read the Bible a lot more as they get older, and then it dawned on me, they're cramming for their final exam. George Carlin. You spend 90% of your adult life hoping for a long rest and the last 10% trying to convince the Lord that you're actually not that tired. Princess Grace. You know you are getting old when everything either dries up or leaks. Dennis Quaid. There are three stages in man's life. He believes in Santa Claus. He does not believe in Santa Claus. He is Santa Claus. Leon Phillips. Looking 50 is great, if you're 60. Joan Rivers. Time may be a great healer, but it's a lousy beautician. Zsa Gabor. Life's journey is not to arrive at the grave safely in a well-preserved body, but rather to skid sideways, totally used up and worn out, shouting, "Man, what a ride!" Hunter Thompson. In the Garden with Ros Bailey. Once upon a pond. Water is a magical thing. We can't live without it. We can have too much and often not enough. Gardening over my many years has taught me to respect it. There are so many creative ways we collect it and use it, and one of the most common ways to use water in the garden is a pond. Whether large or small, it adds an ambience, a place to contemplate or simply water for the birds and bugs in our gardens. I've always had a fascination with ponds, as most of the great gardens have them. It's a whole new dimension of water gardening too. So, once our large garden was reasonably established, it was time to add the third dimension, water. Like many things in life, adding a pond or fountain became all the rage at one time. After reading many books and deciding where and how, we embarked on two massive projects that would both add ambience and frustration. The first was under our Tuscan courtyard, against the old brick shed wall, which was freshly painted. Built of lightweight Hebel concrete blocks that chipped at the slightest bump and sealed with a blue rubber paint which worked quite well until a few years of drought, whereby it continually cracked and leaked. I made a Tuscan design on the brick wall behind it and used tiny blue tiles with a fountain spout into the pond below, placing a few potted water plants in and some goldfish. It was great. When drought hit, our clay soil shrunk and it started to crack. We had to remove the fish, plants and water to repair and seal it, and after a few years of this madness, we eventually turned it into a garden. But the big project was a naturalised koi pond. We had a bobcat dig out the depth and width, then I went to work shaping it with steps to place plants and stones. Once ready, we had a massive pond liner made which fit perfectly with the help of some good friends. One of our neighbours had a great supply of large sandstones which we fitted around the edges, even creating a shallow spot for the kids to play and catch tadpoles. Using the largest sandstone blocks, we created a small waterfall at the back with room for the pump and filter. It took quite a while to fill with water and get the pH right. Then we added pond plants, some beautiful koi fish and a small jetty. It rapidly became naturalised in and around the pond. And the koi had many babies over the years. It also became a haven for frogs and tadpoles to the delight of my kids, and many happy hours were spent catching them. I usually emptied their containers back into the pond after a few days, and the kids would start all over again. It all sounds so pleasant, doesn't it? And truth be told, I loved my pond, fish and water lilies. We quickly learnt that evaporation was a constant issue, and no one told me the plants would take over in the pond. It was a massive back-breaking job getting in and reducing the growth each year without damaging the liner. Then one day, when the water level was a bit low, we had a massive freak storm full of damaging hail. No! The liner was pitted with holes where it was exposed and had gone a bit brittle. I got very good at repairing the pond liner as plant roots also decided to break through as well. It became a regular job I dreaded, but I loved the pond, fish and wildlife it attracted, so I got on with it. The sad part of this story is that when we eventually sold Bloomfield Cottage, they let the pond go and eventually filled it in. I never went back to see how the garden and pond had changed, but word travelled and it still makes me sad that it is no more. Announcements and advertisements. Are you having trouble attending widows' clubs because of mobility or transport reasons? Call the Legacy office on 4323 4977 for assistance. Legal appointments available to all enrolled beneficiaries every Tuesday at Legacy Village, 104 No. 1 Shortland Street, Point Frederick. For an appointment, please call the Legacy office on 4323 4977. Marketing and nuisance calls. If you feel you're getting too many marketing or nuisance calls, you can contact the Do Not Call register on 1300 792 958 or go to donotcall.gov.au. Some organisations that have your consent or are exempt may still call you occasionally. Crichton's Funeral Service, caring for you and your loved ones since 1843. Lock in the price today with a prepaid memorial site and funeral plan. Ask us how on our 24/7 care line, 1300 130 955. Creightonsfuneralservice.com.au. Contact details. Next issue, 108. Copy deadline is Monday, the 19th of October, 2026. Editorial Committee, Editor David Ferry, 0401 715 184. Members Mark Gattenhoff, David Harris. Legacy Executive, President Bob Lowry, 0407 911 390. Vice President Anne Taylor, 0410 702 846. Legacy Village, 104 No. 1 Shortland Street, Point Frederick, New South Wales, 2250. Phone 02-4323-4977. Email legacy at cclegacy.com.au. Publishing and Copyright Statement. Copyright Central Coast New South Wales Legacy. Reproduction in whole or in part is prohibited without prior written consent from Central Coast New South Wales Legacy. All rights reserved. Central Coast New South Wales Legacy does not warrant that the information available in this magazine is accurate, complete or current. Opinions expressed are those of the respective authors and not necessarily those of Central Coast New South Wales Legacy. This concludes the recording of the Legacy Chatterbox, issue number 107, for April 2026, from Legacy Central Coast New South Wales. Care has been taken in the recording of this publication that Vision Australia does not accept responsibility for the results of specific action taken based on this recording, nor for any error, omission or incorrect pronunciation. This recording is copyright. No unauthorised copying, broadcasting or public performance is permitted.